There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Oi. The boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and, frankly, appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents TFC Three Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Well, hello, football fans, Toronto FC fans, and those who hate TFC but want to learn all about them. It is Three Questions, courtesy Footy Prime. James Sharman here with Jimmy Brennan, former captain, and of TFCRepublic.ca, John Molinaro. Boys, hello.
Hey.
What's happening, Charms?
You know, just the usual, making sense of this madness. TFC hasn't been a great couple of weeks. I'll say it's been unexpected given the surprising start to the season, I think it's fair to say, but being smashed 4-0 by Vancouver last time out leaves a sour taste in many a fan's mouth, I think. Up against Charlotte this weekend for the second time in a month. Love MLS scheduling. It's not great, is it? I mean, I know they won that game, but J-Mo, I mean, it's difficult. With so many teams, I understand scheduling is whoever's in charge of it. Maybe it's a computer. I don't know how they do it, MLS. But I mean, it's not great to be playing the same team again, is it? Within a month.
No, I mean, I appreciate that they have to play Charlotte twice, but playing them twice within, a one month period or whatever it is, 5 or 6 weeks, seems a bit much. I mean, it seems like they could have plan this out a little bit better. So I'm not sure what the rationale or what the process is behind the schedule makers from MLS, but it does seem rather odd to me.
Hey, Jimmy, when you were like running the show in the head office there, did you guys have any say in scheduling?
Yeah, you did. Certain teams did because it was weather permitted as well. So there were certain times that we couldn't play at the beginning of the season at home, or there was the Indy that was going on, so we couldn't play during that period. So there's certain periods throughout the year that you know you can't get to use your stadium. Montreal kind of very similar as well, where they've got to be on the road due to weather as well. So, they have those conversations, and it's up to the league at the end of the day to pass them, but you have to go in there to explain that there's no chance you can play these games. And as for making the schedule, I don't think it's one guy just sitting there making a schedule. I think it's AI that actually does it, fellas.
It's not a chalkboard. And yeah. some guy with patches on his elbows and glasses and maybe a pipe. And he's just kind of perusing the connotations of who should play where and when. No, I know it's a bit beyond there, but it's got to be a pretty thankless job. Thank God it's our future masters doing it in AI. All right, so today's three questions we'll get to. Is there a goalie controversy brewing? John Johnson and Luca Gavron. how much of a setback was the 4-0 loss in Vancouver? And Bernadeschi has now gone 16 games without a goal or an assist. Is that a concern? Well, let's start then with that goalie controversy brewing. I'm obviously saying that in some jest, given that Sean Johnson's just returned. And, Jamie, I don't think you could fault him for any of the goals against Vancouver. But that being said, Luca Gavron played so well in the time that Johnson was out with that hamstring injury. There are a lot of supporters for him. How far away are we from a goalkeeper controversy?
Oh, I think pretty far. I mean, I think, you know, and I asked John Herdman after the game, you know, as to why he brought Sean Johnson back. You know, considering Luca Gavron, I think, did quite well during his four-game spell. And, you know, the answer that John said, and I'll read the quote, he's one of the key leaders in this group. He's referring to Sean Johnson here. And it's a very young team with how we have unfolded the roster, and a new team as well. A lot of different faces, from Nixon Gomez to Kevin Long to Matty Longstaff to Debbie Flores. So players like that, the TFC DNA players who have experience and seen a lot of football, are important in this team. So I get what John is saying. You know, I think he wants, you know, sort of a more experienced hand in goal with so many changes and the lack of continuity at the time, going on at TFC. So I get it. And to be fair, I mean, you know, Sean Johnson is not a backup goalkeeper. I mean, if he's healthy, he's going to start because he's, you know, a veteran goalkeeper in this league. He's one of the best goalkeepers in this league. And I don't know that, you know, a player, and maybe Jim can speak to this more than I could, but I don't know that a player who gets injured should necessarily lose his starting spot, particularly a goalkeeper of Sean Johnson's track record and ability. Look, Luca Gavron is a very talented goalkeeper. I think I was very impressed with him last year when, you know, he filled in and, you know, he didn't win a game. I thought he was really impressive in his four-game. And I think he's been impressive this year, too. So his time is going to come. He's going to get reps. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he'll get, you know, see starts in the Canadian Championship. And at some point, Sean Johnson is going to be with the U.S. national team, and they're going to call upon Luca Gavron, and he has to be ready. So, as I said, I think his time is coming. And as far as the controversy, I don't think there's any controversy. I mean, if Sean Johnson is healthy, then I think he's going to start.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with JMO. Look, Sean Johnson, he's the number one goalkeeper. He's the most experienced goalkeeper. You know, Gavron's 23 years old. He's got a few games under his belt. And for me, he's the right player that can come in, step in, do a job, maybe play 2-3 games, and then out he goes, because you need that experienced goalkeeper. I look at that match against the Whitecaps. Is Deshaun Johnson, should he be blamed for any of that? No, not at all. The defending was absolutely horrendous. I don't know what's going on there right now, conceding 7 goals in the last two games. You know, Flores giving the ball away cheaply. Whitecaps going one-on-one, end up scoring a goal. Then you've got Ryan Gold. Like, how – I don't understand for the life of me how he gets a breakaway from inside his own half with 3 players back. Are you telling me nobody can see this the most deadliest player on the pitch? Like, nobody's screaming at the defenders to mark this guy, and he goes in one-on-one. Then on a set play, it gets crossed in. You got Prince, who's on the 6-yard box, who's meant to attack the ball and clear it, just waits for the ball to come to him. Whitecap player, just little tap, and it goes in off the back post. I mean, for me, the defending was horrendous, and it didn't have anything to do with Sean Johnson. So you can't blame him for conceding those 4 goals in that match. But for me, he is the number one goalkeeper, and he's the guy that you got to look at. But I think there's a lot more other issues than these two goalkeepers.
What do you make there, Jimmy, of the whole, it's the old, you know, part of the rules, inner workings of football and sport. You don't lose your spot through injury. It does happen sometimes. Wasn't it? I think it's Stefan Frey, I think, actually lost his job when he broke his leg. I think, didn't Alec Bono step in there? Or was it Clint Irwin, who stepped in there? Do you remember that, JMO?
Well, no, Fry would have been gone by the time Clint Irwin kind of came in.
Okay, so was it Bono?
That's
remember that he broke his leg.
Yeah,
he was out for a long time. Yeah,
he was. Yeah,
and I think it was. Anyway, regardless, right. The point is, I mean, is it right, Jimmy? Do you think, generally speaking, that you don't lose spot if you get injured, or does it depend on the player we're talking about?
It depends on the player, who the player is too, right? If you've got a player, you know, for instance, like a Sean Johnson right now, or certain other players that are experienced guys that are number one on your team sheet right away, those types of players, regardless if they get injured or coming back into the squad. Other positions, you know, there's you might have two great left backs and they're both fighting position. Whoever gets in there holds down the job. That's the player. But, you know, a lot of the times the older players that you need, those guys that make a difference, impact players on the pitch, tend to go straight back into the squad as soon as they come back fit.
Didn't you win your spot, Jimmy, once through injury when you were at Forest or somewhere else when the top guy got hurt and you went into right back? Was it?
Yeah.
That's your story. Right. Okay, so you've done this.
I've done this. Like I had to wait till a player got injured before I went in. I actually went in a different position as a right back, and then I had to wait for the left back to get injured so I could get shifted over to the left back.
I never looked back, right?
And then I never looked back.
Right back, never looked back. Yeah. It happens, right, I suppose. But, okay, so we can acknowledge that it wasn't on Sean Johnson, of course not. But it's still a setback, isn't it, J-Mo, losing 4-0 to, you know, one of your two big rivals, if we assume that Montreal and Vancouver are the two big rivals for TFC. For a team that played pretty well defensively for the first part of the season, maybe some of the cracks were kind of covered up by some really, really solid goalkeeping, actually, by Gavin and Sean Johnson before him, actually, the first couple of games of the year. How much of a setback do you think it actually was?
I think that's we'll find out, right? I mean, I think one of the things that was so interesting about this team over the last 2 to 3 years has been this sort of mental frailty that sort of really, you know, hurt the team. It seems like, you know, this first sign of adversity or when things don't go their way, you know, I'm talking about in games, they fold, and that, you know, once they get in kind of a losing rut, they found it really hard to dig out of. Things went really well through the first five games of the season. Now they've suffered back-to-back losses, conceded 7 times in doing so. And so, you know, what will be interesting to watch is how they respond to it. I mean, I think Jim was absolutely right in terms of the state of the defending against Vancouver. I don't think you can put any of those goals on Sean Johnson. It was just came down to some like really defensive miscues and errors. So what I'll be interested to watch is how they kind of battle back from this, right? And it has to be said, for all of, you know, it was a poor performance on Saturday, I think the effort was there. I mean, it wasn't like the teams kind of threw in the towel. They kept battling to the end. They were just outclassed by a better team. So I think that's encouraging. What you want to see now is if they can sort of maintain that sort of level of commitment and, you know, tie it to better action on the pitch and whether they can respond. And I think that's going to be an interesting question because, as I said, in the past, when they've gotten into these sort of like losing ruts, they've only digged themselves into a deeper hole. So I'll be watching with keen interest as to whether they can respond to this.
Let me tell you what John Herdman said post-match. He says, this is a real test now for this group. Can we reset, regroup this week? Can we focus on growth areas, the learnings that we can take from the game? And can we go into the Charlotte game with a different intensity, a different mindset, which I think for us has got to be on the road? You have to be hard to beat. The starting point. Do you get that, Jimmy? The starting point, this is the adversity that we've been somewhat waiting to see how they deal with. So forget what's happened the first 6-7 games of the season. It's all about, okay, moving forward, how they react.
Yeah, absolutely it is. It's, you know, we said it at the beginning, didn't we? And then, you know, they picked up a good few points. Team looked good. There was a little buzz around the place. But we said, you know, the big issue is going to be when they get a couple of losses under the belt and how they're going to handle it and how they come back from it. And now this is when we're all watching going, okay, how do you get out of this situation right now? You've conceded 7 goals in the last 2 matches. It hasn't been good. But for me, if I'm on that training pitch all week, I'm working on the defense because I'm making sure that we're not conceding 4 goals. We're not conceding 3 goals. We are not conceding this next match. And I'm building off of that. Forget about going forward at the moment. You've got to make sure that you shore up the defense because it was shambolic at times. It was all over the place. And it's got to be better. It's got to be more organized defensively, more disciplined. And then once you get that organized, then, okay, now let's start working on it as we start moving up the pitch and creating opportunities. But they have to fix up the back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, Jimmy, I guess, you know, going forward, we know the excuses. They're there already, right? They've lost in Serie A for the next few weeks, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's a big loss. There was never really a number nine anyway. We knew the issues there. So when Jimmy says that, like, forget about that right now. But defensively, we thought, okay, we saw some progress. There were some new faces coming in. That is kind of the area right now where you need to see some, if it's not returned to normalcy, some kind of improvement.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what kind of got them through those first five games, where they had three clean sheets and they took 10 out of a possible 15 points. It wasn't because they were playing champagne football or they were blowing their opponents away.
Yeah.
Because they were defensively sound.
And you got to give credit to Sean Johnson as well, because he made a lot of saves in those first few games.
No, absolutely. I was just about to say, I mean, I do think, you know, you've got to give credit to Gavin and Sean Johnson, because they faced a lot of shots in those games, right? So I don't know that the back line was as tight as it needed to be. It kind of got the job done. But it did, and now they have to kind of get back to that after, like I said, conceding seven times over the last two games, isn't good. I mean, that you don't want to sort of let that sort of defensive sort of frailties kind of set in, right? And then I think they have to address that and kind of get back to what worked for them, you know, early on in the season. That should be the focus right now.
Jimmy, I know you're not part of this setup. I understand that. But, you know, you've been at TFC and other clubs, you know, who have struggled at times. This team obviously was a crumbling mess last year. We get that. We know why. They start the season off, say all the right things, play some pretty decent football at times. But now they're on, you know, the verge of three straight losses, seven goals in two games. How easy is it for those ghosts to creep back in from last year?
Oh, it's very easy for them to slip back in. But that's your job as a manager now, and your staff is to get around these players and create a good energy and a good buzz around the dress room. Make sure that your training sessions, you're getting something out of them, because it can easily go the other way. When heads start dropping, their shoulders are hunched over, the confidence is gone. It's a very slippery slope, as we saw last year. And you hope you don't end up seeing that happen in this season, especially this early on.
Now, you know, I know we just said that, well, going forward, don't worry about that. It's about defending right now, most important thing. But then you look at Bernardeschi, who has now gone 16 games, JMO, without a goal or an assist. Again, you can't, I don't think, question the effort this year.
No.
He's looked engaged very much so. But the bottom line is, he's a guy you're paying to provide offense. And to go that long without any contribution to a goal, that has to be a concern.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's a designated player. You don't play designated players of Bernardeschi's player profile just to do the grunt work, which he's doing, and, you know, to sort of do all the hard work off the ball and draw it back and help defending, which he's doing. You pay him to sort of create goals and score goals, and he's not doing that. It's not for lack of trying. I've sort of looked this up. He actually ranks third in MLS in shots with 29, but only seven of those have been on target. So that's less than 25%. So, you know, I think he's clearly got to either get into sort of better spaces or be a little bit more clinical in terms of firing on target, because he's not doing that right now. And again, you know, TFC, I'm sure they're absolutely pleased with his work rate, that he's being engaged on both sides of the ball. From what John said, after the game on Saturday, it was Federico was one of the voices that was heard from in the post game huddle on the field, you know, sort of rallying the troops. We know that he's kind of, I mean, John said that he's kind of been working with actually Kobe Franklin in terms of telling him, you know, how to cross into the box and everything like that. So he's actually doing all sort of like the little things away off the pitch as well to sort of help this team, but he's not doing the main thing that he gets paid for, which is to create and scoring chances. And it's 16 games now. That dates back to last August. That's like a pretty big scoring slump for him to go that long without a goal or assist. So I think absolutely has to be an area of concern.
Yeah. I think he's finding it a little bit difficult as well. And here's the reason why, because he probably is the most gifted attack-minded player that we have, that Toronto FC has, right? The way that he reads the game, the way that he sees the game. The rest of the squad, are they pulling their weight? You've only scored six goals in the first seven matches. And what happens is at times when you start looking around and you see others aren't really pulling your weight, you tend to do a little bit more than what you should be doing. Mm. And the amount of times that he gets a ball and he's getting double team, triple team, he's coming inside, the options aren't there for him. Who's he going to play it to? Who's going to score goals for this team? If I'm Toronto FC right now, I'm looking at Bernadeschi. How many shots has he had? 29 shots? Mm-hmm. Okay, at least he's trying. He's trying something. Put him up top. Put him as your striker. That's what I'm doing. Get him up top, and then let's shift around. Put somebody else out wide that can get up and down the line, give us a little bit of energy. But I would have him up top at the moment, and hopefully he'll end up finding those little gaps where he can actually get closer to goal and finish and score some goals. Because this is what this club is dying for right now, is goals.
It should be said, I mean, he did play a little bit like that during his time at Juventus. So he's not exactly sort of – wouldn't be a new role for him. It's not his preferred position, but I mean, I do think it is something that he's played before. And I think at this point, what does it hurt to try it? I mean, as you said, I mean, you want to get a guy like him closer to goal, and, you know, maybe that'll sort of, you know, lead to sort of more offensive production.
Trouble is there isn't much creativity behind him at the moment, right? With Insigne as well. So it was all very well to put him up top, but he might become isolated as well. Unless he drops deep, of course. Which is possible, but you know, if he's talking to Kobe Franklin, one thing TFC are not sure of is wide players. Mm-hmm. They have got wide players. Whether they can play effectively out wide, that's a big question right now. And if you're Bernie, you know the situation, right, Jimmy? You're a veteran right now, the highest paid player who's currently healthy. I guess you maybe have to try something else and be open to it as well.
I would put him up top. I think because you know. Look, Vancouver got their tactics right. They're very good. I like the way that they play tactically, how they change during games. You know, the manager is very good in Vancouver. And he's right in what he's saying. They are the best team in Canada and have been for the last couple of years, right? And when you're playing against a team like Toronto FC that doesn't really create too much going forward, they don't have too many impactful players, seeing that Signe's out, and all you've got is Bernadeschi. You shut down Bernadeschi. Where else is Toronto FC going to get goals from? So that's one of the big focus. Shut him down and don't worry about the rest. The rest you can go man-to-man in that squad. So it is difficult for Bernadeschi, and I feel for him at times. I mean, I'm watching him. I'm going, every time he's getting on this ball, they're two players, three players. And then he's trying to overdo it because he wants to be impactful. It's a difficult time for him.
You know, I think the thing happened, and this is why a lot of the fans are getting very nervous right now, is that the team started so well in comparison to what we expected, given last season, that I think a lot of people forgot this is still kind of a rebuilding year. Just because you've got these two massively high-profile players making lots of money, it's still a rebuilding year, right? And that was kind of lost upon a lot of the fan base, I think, given the early season points. So now, on the back of two losses, two heavy losses, in fairness, perhaps it's returning to where they should be. Is that fair to say, JMO, or is that oversimplifying it?
No, I think that's fair. It's actually something I wrote about the other day. You know, you've got to remember that I think it's roughly 75% of the roster from last year carried over to this year. I mean, there hasn't been wholesale changes. There's been a couple of departures, but it's essentially the same team with a couple of, you know, notable additions. And there's still no go-to number nine forward that they've signed. That still is something that has to be addressed. So, yeah, look, I mean, I think expectations have to be kept in check here. This was always going to be a rebuilding season, especially when you look at the lack of roster moves over the offseason. And, you know, I think, you know, they did quite well to get 10 points from their first five games. And I think that maybe just was somewhat artificial, right? I mean, because again, I don't think they blew any of their opponents away and completely dominated any opponent from start to finish. It was just kind of getting over the line and just doing enough to see the games out. So this is a team that's very much a work in progress. And I think the last two matches have kind of underlined that fact.
Well, the good news is Charlotte is no world beater. They had difficulty scoring goals to defend well, but he's already beaten them once this year. obviously. It is what it is. 3 points are very much a possibility this week, and then all this panic and all this fear is swept under the carpet for another week until the next match. It's what we go through as TFC fans, I suppose, right? The peaks and the valleys, the undulations of our emotions. But hey, it is what it is. Jimmy, thank you. Hear that, John Herdman? Jimmy says, play Burn up front. It would be the solution to all that woes this team. J-Mo, what can we expect from tfcrepublic.ca this week?
Well, I just published today a one-on-one interview I actually did with CPL Commissioner Mark Noonan, just talking about the state of the league and the CSB deal and Canada Soccer and all that. So that's up. We'll have a full preview of the game against Charlotte on Saturday. And actually, Friday marks our three-year anniversary. So it was 3 years ago in 2021 where I launched the site in the middle of a pandemic.
Smart.
Yes. After I quit my full-time job with the CPL. So I had no idea that it would last this long, but it does. And its readership is at an all-time high, despite the team's sort of on-field product. So, it'll be pretty special on Friday.
And despite this podcast, it's still doing really well. It's amazing.
There you go. You guys haven't been dragging me down. So,
but I tell you what, J-Mo, it's a great point, though. You know, you started this website in like the all-time low of TFC. They weren't quite at that point, but they got there last season. And you're still, you know, getting readers, which shows how good this content really is. So just wait until they turn it around. Just wait. Yeah. You'll be in demand, man. We'll be begging for your services here on Free Prime. But yeah, congratulations. 3 years. Good man. Only one thing worse than starting a soccer podcast and soccer website during a pandemic, and that's starting a pie business, frozen pie business during a pandemic, which is what I did. And that's still going strong as well. So, hey, there's something to be said about all that. All right, everyone. This has been Three Questions. Hope you enjoyed it. Check out Montreal Three Questions and Vancouver Whitecaps Three Questions. I'll be taped a little later today. And MLS Box to Box with a special guest tomorrow. That's Thursday. Cheers for listening. Bye.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bat. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Nicely done, boys. Thank you. Hey, really good. That's great. Really good.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.